You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 1st of September, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. I will just repeat what I've been beginning the last few podcasts with before we get into the show today. I am wanting to hear from Radio Albion listeners, as an accusation has been made against me that what I say is likely to stir up hate. So I would like to hear from our listeners how Radio Albion makes you feel, why you listen, and especially if you have been inspired to take any action. Especially good is if you have been listening since the Radio Aryan days and can comment on any changes you may have noticed over the years. And if you could send a brief write-up explaining why you listen to stormersubs@hushmail.com, or you can add it in the Discus comments, or you can add it in the Radio Albion chat room, or on Gab, or you can send it to me on Telegram, or any other way that you have to contact me. That would be much appreciated. That would be really helpful. I want to know why you listen to Radio Albion. Well, I just got two things to bring up today before we get into our news article. There won't be an audio insurgency this week because I need to stock up on new music. I want the audio insurgency to only have the very best music on there. And in order to do that, I have to spend a lot of time going through the new albums and pulling out the best song on the album, basically, and I've got a little bit behind, so there won't be an audio insurgency this week, but next week's one will be extra specially good. I will also be on the Patriotic Weekly Review tonight as their guest, so if you want to join us for that, that will be on at 7 p.m. British time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, on the video stream and on the audio streams. So I'm looking forward to that. It would be good to talk to Mark and Jason once again. And we will be discussing the events that led up to the court case that you may have been aware I was involved in a couple of weeks back. I will leave it to the Patriotic Weekly Review episode to elaborate more on that. Well, today I want to continue really with the theme that we had yesterday about the way that they are changing history and getting teachers to teach a false view of history. And of course, this is something that we've been talking about here at Radio Albion for ever since we started, really, for about the last 7 years. If you look in our audiobooks section, you will see that we have a lot of primary source documents there. We have some of the earliest recorded British history there. We have some very early recorded history of what it was like in the American South when they actually had slavery. And these are all primary source documents that were written at that particular point in history. So they carry a lot of weight. And what we see today with the people that are trying to change history is that they never cite any primary source documents. All they will cite is a black history professor and a book that he wrote last year or the year before, which really should carry no weight at all. History should always be based on what was written at the time. One particular piece of that that I'm particularly proud of is our work on Edward Longshanks, Edward I, because we actually went right the way back through to the Chronicle of England, which was written during Edward's life in Old English, in order to get our information for that program that we did. And it tells a very different story to the one that you will read on Wikipedia. So history has really become the new battleground for truth in history. And of course, people in the past have made this into a big issue because of the distortions of the truth in World War II. And a lot of historians have been persecuted for having a different view on what went on in that war to the mainstream one that is pushed by the establishment. And it really all sort of centered around that. And I don't think when that happened, people really thought that the same sort of thing was actually going to go on with all of our history. And that is what is going on now. They're trying to change British history. They're trying to put people into British history, insert people into our history that were never there. They're trying to suggest that the North African Vandals were in actual fact sub-Saharan Negroes, which is just impossible. The sub-Saharan Negroes were below the Sahara, and the people that were in North Africa were the Vandals. They were Germanic. They were Germanic Caucasians. And some of them came into Britain, of course. And what we see today is we see organisations like the Yorkshire Museum trying to distort this and trying to pretend that Britain has always been multicultural. And, of course, we have been speaking up about this, and some academics have also been speaking up about this. And finally, there now appears to be a group of them that are getting together to do something about this. Top academics have launched a new group to fight back against woke readings of history, which have produced, quote, blatantly false understandings of Britain's past. So they're going to just be concentrating on Britain, but there are also these completely false understandings of what went on in slavery. If you go back and look at the book, The Truth About Lynching and Slavery in the South, that we have in our audiobooks section, that will give you a much better idea of what was actually going on at the time, and that was written at the time. There are lots of books that were written at the time of slavery, which explain that this was really looked upon as a benevolent institution. It was looked upon as if the people that were slaves didn't have any other way of providing for their keep. So the slave owners provided their keep. They provided housing for them, shelter, food, warmth, medicine. They provided a creche for them. They gave them a pension. They looked after them, and it was just seen as another institution. Of course, there was bad behaviour in it, just the same as you get bad behaviour in all institutions. I mean, in the institution of marriage, you sometimes get husbands that beat their wives. And in the institution of slavery, you had some very bad slave masters that mistreated their slaves. And of course, that would then get reported on in the newspaper because it was out of the ordinary. And people will seize on that today and pretend that that was the case for all of the slaves. And that was the conditions that they were in. So this is some of the ways that our history is being distorted. It's not just being distorted in Britain, but this group here at least are trying to do something about what's happening over here in Britain. The website itself is called History Reclaimed, and it was launched by a Professor Robert Toombs from the University of Cambridge, and it already has the support of over 40 leading academics. They recently launched their official website. So this isn't the alternative media that is doing this. This has the sanction of the University of Cambridge. So it's not just us that are speaking up about this. It's the universities as well, which I'm very pleased to see, because these calls to actually change our history, most of the time they actually come from the universities. Since last summer, when Black Lives Matter protests erupted across the world, a number of British historic figures have been cancelled over their alleged imperialism or links to the slave trade. And, of course, they've tried to get rid of Cecil Rhodes. There's been this movement to pull down the Cecil Rhodes statue from Oxford University, I believe it is, despite the fact that so many of the people that are actually calling for the statue to be pulled down are actually there on the Cecil Rhodes Scholarship. Cecil Rhodes set up a scholarship for bright pupils. He didn't say this scholarship is only for bright white pupils. It was a scholarship for all pupils. And it is now going to black pupils a lot of the time. And yet, what do they do with it once they get there to the university? They call for the statue to be pulled down of their benefactor. We also have Edward Colston, whose statue was pulled down. We're told that he was a horrible, mean slave trader, and all his money came from slave trading. And that is not true. His money came from trading in other trade, basically. He had made a lot of money for himself. He set up the endowments, which set up a school and a hospital and really sort of built Bristol as a city. And he then went to work for a company, and part of the company's product that they traded in was slaves, and he worked for them for, I think, 2 years, something like that. And it wasn't that they were entrapping slaves or kidnapping slaves or anything like that. They were purchasing the slaves from the African chiefs, taking the slaves to America, selling them on, picking up cotton and tobacco and the other things that you could pick up from America. And then they were taking them back to Africa and giving them to the African chiefs in exchange for the slaves. So you had a system there that was benefiting Africa. It was benefiting America. It was benefiting the traders. And of course, people today will say, "Well, what about the slaves? It didn't benefit them, did it?" Well, didn't it? I mean, what was their life like in Africa? Once they were in America, they had a roof over their heads. They had clothing. They had food. They had warmth, they had medicine, they had all their needs taken care of. And in exchange, they were expected to pick cotton, or they were expected to pick sugar, basically just to work on a farm for your keep. And that's the way that it was seen. This idea that the race was invented just so that people could oppress black people, I mean, this is just a nonsense. And when you actually look into history, that's when you see that it is a nonsense. But people aren't doing that. They're reading these books that have been put out by these black history professors. They're seeing these black history professors on the television that are telling this different history to our own history. And there's nothing wrong with them doing that, of course, that they're just trying to advance the cause of their own people. But we should understand that. We should understand that that is what is actually going on here, and we need more people like this Professor Toombs to stand up and say, well, look, hang on a minute, this history that you are preaching here is distorted. Professor Toombs is co-editing History Reclaimed with a Professor David Abulafia, who also teaches history at Cambridge. And making a guess from his surname, I would suggest that he is probably non-white. So we have somebody white and somebody non-white who is standing up and saying, this is not truthful, what is going on here. The website plans to publish articles targeting ideologically driven distortions about UK history. And of course, when somebody says, well, this change that we're making has been encouraged by the Black Lives Matter protests, what they're doing is they're admitting that what they're doing is ideologically driven. It's not based on new evidence that has been turned up. It's just being based upon this new ideology that we have today, where white people have to be portrayed as the bad guys in everything. And white people have to take the blame for any differences in life outcomes that there are between the different minority groups. Speaking to the Sunday Telegraph, Professor Toombs said, "You read in the paper that Churchill is a racist, and you think, could that really be true?" And I would answer that and say, well, Churchill did say some things which would be considered racist today. I'm not a big fan of Churchill. We did a series called Churchill's Body Count, and we actually looked at all the despicable things that Churchill has actually done, including starving to death millions of Indians in the Bengal famine. sending back Slavic refugees at the end of the war instead of allowing them to have refuge and asylum in the West, sending them back to Stalin, where they were just butchered, doing the same to Russians that had surrendered, sending them back to Stalin. The Lusitania incident, putting weapons on civilian ships so that they made an American civilian ship into a target, bombing the French Navy after the French had capitulated to the Germans during the war. I mean, the French were Churchill's allies. I mean, the man did some really awful, awful things, and you can find out about all of those in our Churchill's Body Count series. But he did also make quite a few statements that would be considered as being racist today. And you have to remember that society back then was different. People didn't think that there was anything wrong in seeing your own people as being the best people in the world and seeing the other peoples of the world as not being so good. And they didn't just do that with people from other races. They also did that with Europeans. And if you look at some of the jingoism that is directed against the Germans, for instance, the British made the Germans out to be absolute barbarians. And they talked about them in far worse terms than they ever talked about black people. I mean, people used to name their pets after black people, obviously with a word that we no longer use today. But really, that shows that it was a term of endearment for their pet. You wouldn't use a term that you thought was a bad word to describe a beloved family pet, now would you? So we have to understand that the world was different back then, and it's wrong to project today's sensibilities onto these historical figures. And in a way, much as I dislike Churchill, it is wrong of us to project our sensibilities on to him and onto anybody in the past. We have to be very careful with this. So I'm guessing this Professor Toombs is going to highlight things like this. He says the idea is to publish short and accessible pieces which people can read. So that looks like if there is something in the news about a particular piece of history that is controversial, then at this History Reclaimed website, they're going to put up the definitive article and show the sources, show the primary source documents, where they are getting this history from. He says, our articles could also be read by ministers, civil servants, trustees of museums and galleries, or local authorities who may come under pressure. And of course, the problem with that is that a lot of the time it is the local authorities that are actually doing this. We heard last week about how the Museum of Wales investigated itself for racism. We hear about the Council of London, Sadiq Khan's council, and he ordered them to look into all the monuments and the street names and to find out if anything had any link to slavery so that they could either get rid of it or do what they call it as contextualize it. And when they contextualize it, what they mean is put a little plaque there telling everybody what a horrible bad man this actually was. And of course, when people put up statues in the past, they put them up because they were statues of what the public thought were very, very good people. They wanted to see statues of philanthropists, people that had done great things with their money, people like General Gordon, who gave 90% of his money away to charity. We wanted to honour these people and put statues up of them. That's why the statues were put up. Of course, what the Black Lives Matter proponents will say today is that statue was put up to honour a very evil man. That shows that all the people back then were very evil racists because they honoured this evil racist man. But no, they were honouring the man because he was a philanthropist. But the problem is, a lot of these local authorities today, they are extreme left-wing activists, and they will go along with this. They'll probably call for this website to actually be shut down. They'll probably claim that it is inciting hate or something because it's actually just telling the truth about history. I mean, thankfully, we do have some politicians that do honour our history, like Jacob Rees-Mogg. I've heard him mention some of our prehistory in the Houses of Parliament, the sort of stuff that we discuss here at Radio Albion I'm trying to remember the name of the king. There was one king that was a king of Bath, Bladud, that's his name, and he supposedly learned to fly, rather like Icarus in the Greek myths. And I've heard Jacob Rees-Mogg mention his name in the Houses of Parliament and other of our early kings and our Trojan heritage. I'm not sure if he mentioned the Trojan heritage, but he certainly mentioned the kings that that came from that. In 2020, Black Lives Matter supporting activists published a list of dozens of UK statues that they wanted removing because of alleged connections with imperialism or bigotry. And of course, there is a parallel that can be drawn there with what ISIS do with statues in Syria and in Iraq. They destroy them. They smash the statues up. And we can draw a parallel with ISIS smashing up these statues of the people that lived in that country before they got there, with Black Lives Matter smashing up the statues of the people that lived in our country before non-whites came here. It's the same in America. This is where it started, all this smashing up of statues. It was smashing up the statues of the Confederate generals, and then it moved on to just smashing up the statues of anybody that was involved in the establishment of the United States, because they say, well, the United States was involved in slavery. But of course, Africa was involved in slavery as well. Why is it that it is only white people that are being held to account for this? Everybody was involved in the slavery business, but it's only white people that are being castigated for this. And of course, we can look back in history and we can see that the smashing up of the statues of the people that built the civilization is usually followed by the destruction of the civilization. When we recently looked at the Indus Valley civilization in our patriotic history series, we saw that exactly that happened. That's what happened to it. The statues all got smashed up. 15% of the bodies that were found there had serious injuries. There was no sign of an invasion, and the civilization just ended. And you can draw conclusions from that, that something similar back then happened to what is going on today with this destruction of the statues. And of course, we want to prevent that. We don't want to see our civilization destroyed. We don't want to see conflict. We don't want to see friction within our countries. We want to see peace within our countries. And we think the way to achieve that peace is to have ethnic segregation. We think that would solve the problem all around. And then the different ethnicities would not be forced to see statues of a different ethnicity that they don't want to see. Then they would just see representations of themselves. And of course, this is what's going on in London. Sadiq Khan says that he wants to replace the statues with representations of the people that are there now in London. So he wants to see statues and images of his own people. Well, does he not understand that we as white people are the same? We want to see statues and representations of our own people. So to solve the conflict, all you do is just have the separate peoples living in separate areas. It is such a simple solution, but nobody in the establishment will point it out. Liverpool University dropped the name of William Gladstone, a former Liberal Prime Minister, from one of its halls of residence. This happened because while Mr. Gladstone's father was a fierce opponent of slavery, his father was actually a slave owner. You see, and this is the point. Slavery was the system of employment that you had back then. You didn't pay people out wages. They didn't have shops that you could go and spend your money on and buy the latest clothes or buy the latest gadgets. All you really needed was a roof over your head, your food, your clothing, and that was provided by the slave owner in exchange for you doing the work. And that was the way that it was for thousands of years. And people that were against that, they couldn't suddenly stop being involved in that, otherwise they would lose their business and all the people that they cared for would lose the help that they had. They were relying on the slave master to pay for everything and provide everything. If you suddenly stopped doing that, how would they live? They didn't have a benefit system back then. So this had to be done in a slow process. And because of this, they've dropped the name of William Gladstone, even though he was a fierce opponent of slavery. So this is the thing. Even people that are against slavery, they're now calling to be cancelled. There have also been calls to remove statues of Sir Robert Peel, another former prime minister, as his father opposed the abolition of slavery. So they're going after Robert Peel because of something his father did. And again, we have seen people cancelled because their father said something politically incorrect. So it's not as if they're even going after people that have any guilt in this. They're going after people just because of who they are. Professor Toombs said he hopes the History Reclaims website will be a resource for local political figures when challenged by activists. And I really do hope that it does actually become that. He commented, there must be local councillors who think, what is the truth about this? Should we pull it down or should we put up an explanation or what? So we will provide what I hope will be solid and historical explanations. Again, I can see what will happen is, though, that people will say, well, this solid and historical explanation, this is inciting hate, so it has to be deplatformed, and that people can't use it because it is excluding black people, or it's excluding the point of view from other races. That's what will probably happen to this. Professor Doug Stokes, who teaches international relations at Exeter University, warned that woke activists are pushing a misleading account of British history. The History Reclaimed editorial committee member stated, unless we push back, this will continue to be imposed upon the British public. Broadly speaking, this country has played a hugely progressive role in history. The Magna Carta, the abolition movement, fighting against the Nazis. People should feel proud of that. And that, again, it's a strange one, isn't it? You know, these people that are protesting against these statues, they call the people that support the statues, they call us Nazis, and yet then they'll go after Winston Churchill, who was the guy who fought against the Nazis. Writing for the Sunday Telegraph, Professor Abu Lafia warned against associating imperialism and slavery near exclusively with Europeans and their descendants. And we showed yesterday that slavery, Europeans were slaves just as much as black people were slaves and just as much as Arabs were slaves. Slavery was the system of the ancient world. It was a system of employment. He wrote, adherents of critical race theory still place Europe at the heart of their arguments. Ignoring the empire building and enslavement in Mongol Eurasia or among the Aztecs and the Incas. And I would suggest that the reason why they do this is because the whole point of this isn't about justice. It isn't about equality. It's about going after white people. It's about cancelling white people. That's why they talk about whiteness. It's a self-destructive urge that we have as a people. We are behaving as if we're suicidal as a race. We're engaging in so many suicidal activities, and it all comes from ignoring our traditions, ignoring our religion, and ignoring what our ancestors told us, and ignoring our history. And if you're going to ignore those things, then you're going to end up doing stupid things. You're going to end up self-harming. And that is what we are doing as a people. We are self-harming. And of course, we come up with these ideas, and then the non-whites go along with these ideas because they're of benefit to them. You can't expect them not to. And I don't hold them to account for this. It's white people that are to blame for this. From the time of Columbus, Europeans built their success on the backs of 12.5 million slaves who were carried in what were certainly hideous conditions across the Atlantic. And these figures are not in dispute. But what is deeply contentious is the insistence that everything significant in world history flowed out of the slave trade to the Americas. The European Enlightenment was supposedly a deeply racist enterprise. While the highly profitable cultivation of sugar, tobacco, and cotton are said to have provided the capital and the raw materials for the Industrial Revolution. But that is to ignore the massive profits from the earlier agricultural revolution within Great Britain, as well as the importation of Indian cotton. And I would point out that this highly profitable cultivation of sugar, tobacco, and cotton, I mean, what did the wealth of that go to do? Well, the wealth of that funded the civilization, and the civilization was exported to countries like Africa, to countries like India. We brought the gifts of medicine, learning, technology, travel, railways, all these wonderful inventions that Europeans came up with. They were funded by the work that we did. It's not as if white people weren't working at the same time. It's just that the system that we had, we didn't actually give out tokens to people to then go and purchase their own clothes or purchase their own house. We provided that for them in exchange for them doing the work. And we shared all of this. The colonies in Africa, they were built in Africa so the Africans could be taught how to harvest their own resources and create their own goods so that they could then sell them on the world market instead of selling other Africans. That was the whole point of colonizing Africa. If you look at David Livingstone and you read about David Livingstone, that was his idea. That was why he wanted to see the colonizing of Africa. And he wanted to see all the colonies linked up by roads and linked up to the sea so that the Africans could produce products that the rest of the world wanted and then sell them to the rest of the world instead of selling other Africans. You can check that out in our Greatest Britain series on David Livingstone. So there's even more to this than what he's actually saying here, that there were profits that were earned in the agricultural revolution as well. And he ignores the fact that white people were working hard throughout all of this. And also white people were taken as indentured servants to America. Don't forget the Highland clearances, and lots of the Irish were just sort of swept up off the streets and put on ships and sent over to America. And at the same time, we had English children climbing up chimneys and working in amongst all the industrial machinery in the workhouses. And you only have to look at the pictures and look at the hours that these children used to work. It was hard work for everyone, and everybody has benefited from it. I mean, nobody can say that the African Americans did not benefit from being exported over to America. A lot of them are in a much better situation now than some of these African tribes and the situation that they are in. So it's great that we have this this History Reclaimed website, and we will be keeping an eye on it here and checking that they are actually telling the truth. I think they will be. I think they're honourable people here. They will be looking at primary source documents, and they will be objective. And it's a good thing that they're doing it. Finally, somebody is doing it. But you have to remember that we've been doing this for about the last 7 years here at Radio Albion. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.